Today on Maine Calling, assistive technology. It's come a long way. Living life with a disability often presents challenges, but there are a broad range of tools, gadgets, and tech to help. It's all referred to as assistive technology, or AT, and is designed to help people live more independently. AT can include smart home devices and wearables, apps and alarms, speech generation devices, reach extenders, non-skid bowls, wheelchairs, the list is long and includes both high and low tech tools. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we dive into the world of AT and talk about how new technology and invention is changing the landscape for so many people. This show is part of our special series, Ready and Able, Living with a Disability in Maine. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by contributing listeners and support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Sometimes the only thing that someone with a disability needs to be able to function well at work, school, or at home is the right assistive technology, or AT. Well, today we're going to learn about the different kinds of equipment and tools available and how they can enhance daily life for a range of people. This show is part of a Maine Calling series that we've been doing this year, Ready and Able, Living with a Disability in Maine. We are streaming it live on Maine Public's YouTube channel and Maine Calling's Facebook page with ASL interpretation. Joining me for the hour, Lonnie Carlson, who is director of Maine SITE, that stands for Maine Community Inclusion Through Technology. Lisa Penny, advocate for deaf services and technology specialist with Disability Rights Maine, and Sarah Squires, who is Public Policy Director with Disability Rights Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. Have you used assistive technology? Do you have a story to tell about how it has changed your ability to live or work or go to school? Are you wondering where you might turn to access equipment? You can send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Well, Lonnie, I'm going to start with you. This term, assistive technology, or AT, it covers a lot of different kinds of equipment and tools. Give us a sense of what that might include. Give us a sense of the range.
Thanks, Jennifer. Assistive technology, I think you mentioned it's any tool or device that helps a person with a disability do something they couldn't do without it. I think the thing I'd like to stress is that assistive technology, a person is not dependent on assistive technology. It makes them independent in anything that they want to do, if it's anything that occupies their time. So work, school, recreation, employment.
I thought this was interesting. We might often think of something that's super high tech, like something that speaks for someone who's unable to speak, but it could be something as simple as a pencil grip.
Absolutely. The devices could be, we have many federal categories, but it could be a mobility device. It could be a speech generating device. It could be a daily living aid, for example, an adapted kitchen tool or a dressing aid. It could be something so you can access your computer, your digital content, or your smartphone. There are built-in accessibility features that allow you to do that. It could be seating, sensory items, help somebody self-regulate. There's so many ways that assistive technology can be incorporated.
I saw a recent study, Lonnie, that said that the biggest barrier to getting assistive technology is awareness, that many people just simply don't know what's out there that might help them. and that they can get it. Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. When it comes to assistive technology, you don't know what you don't know. And we go out and do trainings and education and talk to people about what AT is, assistive technology is, and how they've already incorporated it into their daily life. We're all using Zoom. This is a piece of assistive technology for folks to who maybe cannot get out and get to a place they need to be. So understanding what's available, understanding how it could create independence in somebody's occupation, being what they're doing with their time during the day, and then also funding is an issue. How to access it. But I think that it's important to remember that AT can be low tech or high tech. And the price point for getting into low tech is much easier.
And if someone's listening right now, you said we, and when you say we, you mean Maine site. If someone's listening right now and thinking, boy, maybe there is something out there that could help me, do they contact your organization? Do they contact Maine site?
Absolutely. And when I say we, I mean Maine site, but I also mean this larger network of AT providers and AT resources. But they could reach out to mainsite.org, or they could email us at info@mainsite, or they could call us. There's three of us here in the office, so it's a small but mighty crew. But we're happy to talk and share.
Sarah, you know, I was thinking about this program yesterday. Last night, I used one of those little grippers to help me open a jar when I was cooking dinner. And it made me think about this overarching theme of this whole series on living with a disability, that pretty much all of us have varying abilities to function that may change throughout our lifetime. And it's not like everybody's in one category of having a disability or not, that somebody listening today may not even identify as having a disability yet may benefit from assistive technology.
Yeah, I mean, I think we think of disability as sort of a spectrum of things, because like you said, not all disabilities are the same. And generally speaking, a disability is something that's like a physical or mental, they say impairment, although I don't like the word, that impacts one or more daily life activities. And those are defined as like walking, talking, you know, the ability to bathe or care for yourself, things like that. And I think that, you know, like Lonnie said, the word technology sort of has a connotation that it's, you know, advanced and expensive and all of these things. But there's really a lot of low-key tech that people with disabilities and everybody uses in their everyday lives that, you know, like I live with step stools everywhere, you know, and that's just sort of one example, I think.
I was going to ask you, so in your life, the simple thing that's made you be able to be more independent is step stools.
It's one of the things, yeah. I mean, I also have an assistive mobility device that I've used since middle school, but you know, it's been helpful in my educational, you know, journey. It's been helpful in, you know, being part of the community and also with employment. So it's, you know, something I use as needed, but it is greatly benefited and expanded my entire life, my worldview.
Lisa, you run the telecommunications equipment program. Tell us what some of that equipment does and who can it help?
So I work mostly with people who are deaf and hard of hearing, but really with any disability, any person who has a disability that limits their access to communication, that means telephone, hearing aids, big button telephones for people who have low vision. Telephones that will speak, that speak, telephones that have captions. It's part of, you know, in our office, it's, you know, part of our everyday work. I mean, we also have video phones, because we're communicating back and forth with people who are deaf. So we sign in the office when we're using a video phone. Sitting here yesterday thinking about, you know, I had a video phone going, I had an iPad on my desk, cell phone, and three screens. And it's like, you know, you don't think anything about it. I mean, it's just really part of your day. But, for somebody who's never used that technology, and they're, approaching it for the first time, back like, we started using Zoom for meetings. I mean, we had to, really explain, what your mouse does, what those little three buttons are on the bottom of your screen, how to use a Bluetooth speaker to enhance, your hearing on a call. It's all part of the day of, what we do is, a lot of instruction, a lot of sharing of information. So.
Lisa, I am guessing that some of the latest advances in assistive technology, especially for people who are deaf and hard of hearing, are kind of mind-blowing. And the reason I think that is I'm thinking about the announcement recently that Apple's, oh, what are they called? The earbuds that Apple's has, that they'll be able to translate languages or can already do that now. And so if we're translating languages just by putting something in our ear, what are you looking at, Lisa? What are the new technologies that you're most excited about? And what are you looking at that might be right around the corner that might be really a game changer for the people you work with?
I think one of the things that's changing daily is hearing aid technology with, with the sophistication and adding AI and the Bluetooth and being able to, completely stream to your cell phone with your hearing aids and not having to pick up a telephone. I think for people who are hard of hearing, that's probably been, a really amazing advancement for hearing aid technology. I mean, when my sister started wearing hearing aids, that was, there was nothing small about it. I mean, everything was big. You didn't put up a tele you couldn't even put the telephone up next to your ear. And now people who are hard of hearing, and some people who are deaf who have, who have usable some hearing that's usable, can stream directly to their hearing aids, and have a conversation on the phone, which probably they couldn't do before they had Bluetooth technology. So that's amazing. The fact that they're putting captions in glasses now, for people. I haven't tried them myself, but I've been watching videos and I've talked to a few people who've tried it, and it's pretty amazing technology.
Captions and glasses. So you're having a conversation with someone, and it's almost as though when you watch TV with closed captioning, you just have that coming in. Wow, that's really something. I'm going to go up to Green and Zion, who's calling in. Hi, Zion. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to let everybody know about the accessible technology for blind individuals. Like, for example, I use an app on Android called Lookout, and that uses Google's Gemini AI. And so with that app, before I could actually like not read cans, anything, I had to really depend on people for everything. Now with that app, it reads the everything on the can, everything you need, whereas some of the older technologies couldn't. So I just wanted to, spotlight that for everybody. People may not know.
Zion, I want to keep you on the line for a minute. So explain this. So you go grocery shopping and you're able to, how does that work? Do you point your phone or point your glasses or something at the shelf and just walk us through that?
So it is unfortunately not able to be compatible with glasses. So what I do is I go into the grocery store and I hold my phone up out front of the shelf that I want to read things on. And again, that's the Lookout app for Android. And I go slowly along the shelf and it'll read the names of the cans. For example, chicken noodle soup, beef stew, and it'll read everything on the can. And it even has a specific mode specifically for food where it reads the barcodes on food cans.
Wow, that's really exciting.
It
Zion,
is.
thank you so much for calling in and telling us how assistive technology or AT, and this is really kind of the next step of assistive technology, right, Lonnie? This is AI.
Yeah, I mean it's exciting to hear that he's using that in that capability, and using your smartphone is a great way to access many parts of your life. And AI has been around being used by the disability world, I think, longer than people are really aware. But the whole captions, talk to text, are a function of they were designed essentially so that people with disabilities can communicate. And so now it's mainstream. We're all talking to our phones, and AI is amazing. It also has some. It also has some pitfalls where it is. Reflects the activities and actions of a typical person. And so there have been some examples where smart technology or AI may not be able to, for example, crossing a street, you could see a person crossing a street. Well, if you have a person using a wheelchair, are they being picked up as an obstacle also? So just making sure that the data being used when we are talking about AI reflects the wide variety of users and people.
Yeah, interesting. Sarah, it looks like you wanted to jump in.
Now, just when Lonnie was talking about crossing the street and making sure that it picks up on individuals, it just made me think of the automated doors, like a grocery stores, and they operate on a sensor. And I've actually had instances where they don't pick me up. And so just sort of that whole idea that they're really great until they're not. I think.
Boy, that's so true with so much of technology, isn't
Yeah.
it? Great until it's not. Zion, thank you so much for calling in. We're going to go up to Bangor and Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
This is really interesting because I have a similar conversation. I've been visually impaired all my life, and it's worse now. And I got a smartphone a couple years ago, and they tried to help me with Siri, and I love Siri. I use it for so many things. But I had a blind person try to help me use VoiceOver, and I got a post-college graduation education, and I could not figure it out. And I would love to get someone to help me with it, and also the technology that was just spoken of in the grocery store, because I go in the grocery store and I ask for help because I can't read the cans. But anyway, what I wanted to mention was a low-tech solution. I went to Walmart and tried to get some tape that had texture, because the Northern Light had given me some when I first came home from Boston, and it came off. The kid was wonderful. I'm on the other side of the store, and he comes over with a roll of tape. It was the sandpaper style tape that you put on stair treads. I've got 15 feet of it. I cut it up in little pieces and put it on my microwave, my stove, my clock, and I even gave my 99-year-old aunt some of it so she could put it on her microwave. So that's a low-tech solution. Plus, when my husband was alive, his hands were disabled, and we had blown up silverware for him, similar to the idea with the pen. And the high-tech solution that I have is not a new solution. It's an older solution, but it works for me. And that is a CCTV, a closed-circuit television. I had one when I worked doing data entry, and I now have one in my home. And it's wonderful. I could even put jewelry under it to see what color it is. I put pill bottles under it. I write checks under it. I use it every day of my life. And it's an expensive piece of equipment. It's not the newest technology, but it really works for me.
So
So
you
I
use
think
your CCTV as a magnifying glass, it sounds like.
yes, I have to turn it up to the highest level, but and it has three different co it has what black lettering on a white background like you normally would have, color, and white writing on a black background like your phone, and that's the easiest for me to see. But the problem I have with the phone is Siri doesn't do everything. Siri is wonderful. It talks to you for some things, but some things it does not work. And so I'd like to learn to use VoiceOver, but I'm not totally blind, so it's an issue. But anyway, I function fine without it.
Well, Sharon, I love, and I love the using the creativity of using the textured tape to sort of create buttons on your microwave. But Lonnie, I want to go back to what Sharon said at first, because I think a lot of us feel as though we would like to be able to use something in a certain way, but we don't know how. Can Sharon turn to Maine site to maybe get lessons and help on using these, whether it's a smartphone or other devices she might already have in her house more effectively?
Yeah, absolutely. So I loved hearing her list all of the ways she's solved a problem. So at MainSight, we offer webinars that are recorded, offered live and recorded, and they're on a variety of different types of assistive technology. We also offer demonstrations. So if somebody wants to learn about a particular device or compare and contrast characteristics of devices to find out what would work best for them, we offer demonstrations. We also have a lending library. So the whole idea that not one piece of AT is going to work for every person and every ability. It's like a regular lending library. It's free to create an account. You do go online and search for items, and then you can borrow them for 30 days. The idea of borrowing a device is so that you can learn about it, either professional development or maybe a parent whose child uses a speech generating device, and you want to learn how it works without taking that communication device away from the child. You can use it for a short-term accommodation. So say your grandmother's coming to visit and they need help getting up a step, you can borrow a ramp or a mobility device. You can also use it to, the biggest reason is to learn about a device to try it before you spend your money and purchase it somewhere else. And then if your device is broken, you can borrow it. So we really are this resource. I encourage people to call us and ask us about AT, where to find AT, how to fund it, and then what service providers are available. So when she mentioned not knowing how to use VoiceOver, I could certainly make some recommendations for different online trainings that are available. It's just exciting to hear her talk about it. So
wonderful. And Lonnie, MainSight serves the entire state?
Yeah, so each state has an AT Act. So every state and territory has an AT Act program. So the only requirements we have is that you reside in Maine. So any age, any ability. If you happen to live in New Hampshire, you use the New Hampshire AT Act. And yeah.
Okay, well, we do need to take a quick break. We are talking about assistive technology on Maine Calling. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Assistive technology, or AT, is the term that includes everything from a special pencil grip to text-to-speech computer programs. We're learning how AT can make a difference in someone's life and how to find out what's available in Maine. With me are two guests from Disability Rights Maine, Lisa Penny, an advocate for deaf services and also a technology specialist, and Sarah Squires, Public Policy Director. Also with us, Lonnie Carlson, who is Director of Maine Sight. Share your comments and questions. Do you know someone who would benefit from some sort of assistive technology? You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. A reminder, today's program is streaming live on Maine Public's YouTube channel and Maine Calling's Facebook page with an ASL interpreter. Joining us now is Josie Easler, who is on the board of the organization Speaking Up For Us. Josie is blind and has autism spectrum disorder and ADHD. Josie, thank you for calling in. Welcome back to Maine Calling. Tell us about how you use assistive technology.
First off, thank you so much for having me again. And I use assistive technology in several ways. So on my laptop, I have a software called JAWS, which is a screen reading software, and it reads everything on the screen out loud, and I use keyboard commands instead of a mouse or a trackpad. So I do everything with the keyboard. I also use what's called a Braille Note Touch, which is an Android tablet that has a Braille display that is accessible, and it also has speech output. I also have what's called a Victor Stream, which is a very small device that allows me to download and listen to various audiobooks from various platforms. And I also use my two Echo Dots. I have two in my apartment, and I can ask them what the weather for the day will be. I can set alarms, ask them what time it is, various things like that. And then I do use a lot of low-tech things like bump dots or Braille stickers on my microwave or my washing machine, or things like that. I have, like I said, the bump dots, the Braille stickers, very low-tech things. And then I also have, I'm very short, so I have what's called a reacher, and it allows me to basically get things off of high shelves. So various high-tech and low-tech solutions to get the job done.
It sounds as though you've really got it all figured out. And I'm wondering, has the ability of AT in your life made a big difference in what you can do, Josie?
It started when I was very young, getting audiobooks on tape. And then it just progressed to more and more complex things. So I've been using AT since I was a toddler.
What advice do you have for people who may not know what to do to access the equipment that might help them, who may not have the creativity and ingenuity you clearly have in figuring it all out?
Definitely turn to YouTube. I got a lot of my information from YouTube, and definitely if you're blind, check out the American Printing House for the Blind. They make all kinds of cool things for blind people. You can also reach out to the Iris Network or Voc Rehab or your local career center for help.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Josie. Josie is blind and serves on the board for Speaking Up for Us. And Josie, Laura from the Iris Network happens to be calling in. Laura, were you able to hear what Josie just said?
I did. And thank you for mentioning the Iris Network. We are the statewide agency serving citizens who are blind and visually impaired. And we do offer AT training to folks in home. We have specialists who are certified in accessible technology. And so we can work with people in their home. I know there was somebody who called in about voiceover. And an Iris employee, a rehab professional, could go in and help that person learn how to use voiceover. The Iris Network also has a fund where we can help individuals purchase equipment such as an iPhone or an iPad. So I just wanted to let listeners know about our services.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for calling in from the Iris Network. And Josie Easler, thank you so much for calling in from Presque Isle. We are going to go, up to Farmington and Isabella. Hi, Isabella. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to share a little bit about my program that I currently run called Maine AgriBility. We've worked historically with the Iris Network, Vocational Rehabilitation, Maine Site, and what we do is we work directly with farmers, loggers, and fishermen all over the state who have any sort of barrier to continuing their work productively and safely. So really anything from a physical injury to a chronic progressive condition to a mobility challenge, aging, really anything that is becoming a barrier, we can help find ways to address, to help modify the work site, to help find solutions to working differently and better. And a lot of times assistive technology is a part of that conversation. So it's our job to help find reasonable ways to fund assistive equipment and technology in cases where those folks might need it.
You know, it's so interesting, Isabel. I'm so glad you called in from Maine AgriBility. You mentioned that you work with farmers and loggers and fishermen, and you know, we already know that those are three of the most dangerous fields there are. Are you able to make those fields, the physical work that's being done, safer for people?
In certain ways, yeah. So we talk a lot about injury prevention and secondary injury prevention in cases where something may have happened already. And so we're looking at kind of eliminating some of the most, you know, dangerous issues that might crop up. So we're thinking about things like tractor safety. We're talking about having visibility and maintaining quality hearing, because that's really important on farm operations and logging operations where things are highly mechanized, especially preventing things like slips, trips, and falls on the worksite, which comes up a lot in logging and oftentimes in farming and fishing as well, especially in an environment where your balance is often challenged. So we try to analyze and address those things too to keep people, you know, that might already be experiencing a challenge, to kind of mitigate some of the additional challenges or things that could kind of compound on what might already be going on.
Well, Isabella, thanks so much for calling in. Isabella calling in from Farmington in the program Maine Agribility. I'm going to go to John, who's calling from Gorham. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, you had the lady about the crossover. I had the exact same problem. I couldn't figure it out. So I walked into the Apple store, and I said, told them I had the this particular disability, and I told them why, and I said, I can't figure this out. And the guy said, oh, we'll do it for you. He did it, and then I found out that as part of the disability law, manufacturers that sell you products, if you have a specific disability and you're relying on their product for a assistance, they all are required to give you assistance. Some will give you a lot more than others, but at least that is a requirement. Apple goes out of their way to do it.
Well, John, thank you for that information. And Sarah, is there anything you'd like to add to that about what the law requires of manufacturers?
I don't have anything to add right now. Just to say that disability rights mean does offer an advocacy program around assistive technology separate from the communication access services that we just spoke about. But when individuals are having difficulty accessing assistive technology, we don't provide financial assistance, but we do provide advocacy when manufacturers or AT providers are not fulfilling their obligations. So if people are in those situations and they have questions or concerns, I would strongly encourage them to reach out to Disability Rights Maine.
All right, John, thank you for that call. We'll go to Brunswick and John. Hi, John, go ahead.
Hi, I'm with 3i Housing of Maine. We're a nonprofit and we are building facilities, homes specifically designed for folks with physical disabilities. And we are putting into those facilities lots of technology to support folks, assistive technology. Some of that takes the form of smart home technology, which we've relabeled as assistive technology. So Echo Dots, the ability to open doors with door openers, the ability using your voice, the ability to run the shades up and down, the ability to turn lights on and off, the ability to change temperature, all of that sort of thing. We're also doing physical design to help people who are, for instance, in wheelchairs. There's room to be able to get around the kitchen and cook even in your wheelchair and so on. And then also the appliances that we're choosing to try to make sure that they are appropriately structured for people with different kinds of disabilities.
So John, this sounds so amazing. Where are these homes being built?
So we have a 51-unit apartment building that's going to be built in the new downtown area of Scarborough, and we'll be breaking ground on that next year. With a number of more rural towns within Maine to try to build out single-family homes or duplexes, again, designed both for folks with physical disabilities, and we're also trying to drive the cost down so that we can get care providers to be able to have housing as well.
Well, John, good luck with all of that. That sounds like, it sounds really, really wonderful. John calling with 3i Housing for Maine. We are talking about assistive technology on Maine Calling. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You are listening to Maine Calling, and today we're talking about the role that assistive technology, or AT, can play in making possible for people with disabilities to live more independently. This show is part of our year-long series, Ready and Able, Living with a Disability in Maine. Joining me, Sarah Squires and Lisa Penny, both with Disability Rights Maine, and Lonnie Carlson with Maine Sight. We invite you to join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post to our Facebook page or to Instagram. Before we get back to our callers and emailers, and there are lots of you, I just wanted to ask you really quickly, Sarah, about what is required by law. I know that there are specifically laws about education and students, that assistive technology isn't an extra. It is mandatory if it could help, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not comfortable speaking directly to the law, as I'm not an attorney. But I will say that the students with disabilities are entitled free and equal access to educational opportunities. And so that can include, you know, speech therapy, occupational therapy, but also any sort of assistive technology to make that happen in the school, such as speech generating devices, screen reader software, recording devices, and so forth. So to the extent that a student may need that in order to be able to make academic gains and participate in their educational program, school districts are required to, make sure that they can do so.
And we've all read and heard about the cuts to so much government funding, including the Department of Education. And I'm wondering if you at Disability Rights Maine have seen the impact of that already, or if you're worried about that in the future.
I think because it's so new and it's still playing out, we haven't seen a direct impact in Maine that I'm aware of. But what's happening at the federal level, I just think I want to share that it doesn't negate the state's responsibility to continue serving these students and to continue providing services. So while there are concerns about funding that coming from the federal level and the technical assistance that may be available to educational providers, the state still has an obligation to serve students. And the state due process office or dispute resolution office, which is available when students their needs are not being served, they are still there to assist in any sort of dispute resolution procedure.
Thank you. On the line with us now is Chris Dolinek, who is with the University of New England. Chris is assistant clinical professor of occupational therapy and teaches about assistive technology and adaptive equipment. Thanks so much for calling in, Chris. And I understand UNE now has a minor in assistive technology.
Thanks for having me on. Yes, we absolutely do. I'm thankful for the opportunity to talk about the subject. It's certainly something that we're passionate about at the University of New England and is really impactful in the lives of so many of our fellow Mainers and just so many people in the country. We do have a minor. It's a distinct program in that it is offered at the undergraduate level, and it's really designed to give our students an opportunity to prepare to sit for the assistive technology professional certification exam and enter the workforce in this really dynamic field, again, at the undergraduate level, which is, a pretty exciting opportunity for these students.
Tell us an example of, give us an example of something your students might do or have been doing in the classroom.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we just finished this morning a class in partnership with our Makerspace laboratory for a class that's focused on assistive technology for community mobility, and we are building wheelchairs. So we are building these what would normally be a multi-thousand dollar rigid frame ultralight wheelchair for a dedicated wheelchair user, and we're using household materials that you can pick up at Home Depot.
Wow. What kind of feedback do you get from your students? What does it mean to them to be involved in a project like that?
I think overall the students really love the experiential nature of not just the course that we're doing right now for community mobility, but all the courses that are part of the minor. You know, the chance to really not just have the foundational understanding and the principles and talking about the ethics of practice and things of that nature, but the opportunity to get out there and apply it with community members, with community partners, you know, things like building these wheelchairs, is really like one of the great aspects of the program that students really enjoy.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in. Chris Dalinek is with the University of New England. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. So many calls coming in. We'll go to Donna calling from South Portland. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. I have a brother who's severely handicapped. He has a degenerative neurological disorder. And now he's really lost the use of his hands for the last few years. And we have to strap an eating implement onto his hand so that he can feed himself. And a few years ago on Facebook, I saw something called Liftware. And it had a little gyroscope that would keep the spoon or fork level. So, and it really helped him a lot. But they seem to have gone out of business and we can't replace it. And I wondered if there was anything similar that people knew about.
Lonnie, you seem to know. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that is, Liftware is pretty amazing. So there's a couple items. So Liftware is going through a transition, but in our lending library, we still have the spoon and fork attachments and devices that are available to borrow. And then there's also another company that offers a similar type of gyroscope. The idea is as a hand trembles or tremors, it counterbalances that and keeps the item from falling off the spoon or fork. And then third, there's also, it's called an Obi feeder. It's an automated feeding system that scoops down and it's and feeds from a plate. So the person has independence in being able to use switches to operate it. So if they don't have they don't have the use of their hands, they can use sip and puff to turn a switch on and activate it, or they can use head movements, eye movements. So we have many of those items in our lending library. So if Donna wants to reach out, I'd be happy to point her in the right direction.
There you go, Donna. Good luck to you. An email here from Sarah. My high school student has, among other things, a language-based learning disability, which is defined as a neurological disorder that affects a person's ability to understand, use, and process language. With a 504 plan, one resource our student has tried to access at school is note-taking technology, but we have been told there is no approved program that can be used in a public school setting due to privacy issues. We have requested class notes, but some teachers do this, others do not offer it, and many use lecture style in their classroom. What options or recourse do we have to meet this need for my student? Is this the legally correct answer? Are there creative solutions that we should consider? Sarah, I'm going to turn to you.
Right. I think, honestly, I would encourage your student, parent, or guardian to contact Disability Rights Maine. Our website is drme.org. Our phone number is there. They can call our office and do a telephone intake, or we have an online intake form if the parent wants to complete that and submit it. And we can certainly, look at it to provide potentially some resources, perhaps a referral to Maine site for any technology-related questions. But again, I'm a little reticent to answer any sort of legal type questions right now.
But you do have lawyers at Disability
Rights. We do. We have so many lawyers who are, far more qualified than I am, or at least licensed to answer those questions. So
all right.
I would encourage them to reach out.
We'll go to Fred, who's calling from China. Hi, Fred. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm actually from Smyrna. I'm a social worker in Southern Roostook. And I have a client who's had both legs amputated because of diabetes. And he unfortunately lives in a two-story house. And he would really like to have one of those stair lift devices. I think you hook it to the railing. Do you know how to access one of those?
Go ahead, Lonnie.
Yeah. So that is, I would have him reach out to us. So part of MainSight is we also have a reuse program where we take in used devices, refurbish them, and get them out for low cost to no cost. Something like a stair glide or stair system like that isn't something that we can house. But when people are looking for them, or people, for example, might buy a home and they want to take it out, they'll contact us and we try to connect the people. So while we might not necessarily have one of those sitting around, we might have somebody who has one. The other option is the Alpha One hosts the alternative loan program, adaptive equipment loan program, that has a couple of different ways to finance assistive technology purchases. Low-cost loans, and then grant programs.
There you go. Great lead for you, Fred. Good luck. We'll go to Bill. Bill is calling from Portland. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi. I think your last response may have partially answered my question. I have a very high-end wheelchair never used because my friend recently died, and it's sitting in my closet in a pristine state. I don't know how to get it to somebody who can assess all the bells and whistles it has and then get it on to an appropriate person. What's available?
Lonnie.
Yeah, thanks. I'm sorry to hear about your friend, Bill. But that's exactly how our reuse program works, is people donate their equipment. So the person I would connect you with is our partner at Spurwink Altec. His name's Darren. He's located in Portland, where he takes in devices like that. And if you are, you know, not close to Portland, we do have a map/directory of reuse centers across the state that have the ability to take in items or have low cost items available. And then we also, so the, in terms of getting assistive technology across the state is difficult, but we have this, we mail items if possible. And then we also, since I work at the University of Maine at Augusta, we really use our network of librarians between Bangor and Augusta and the other outlying areas. And then my colleagues, we all sort of live in different parts of the state. And then we'll use DRM. If Lisa's heading to Presque Isle to do a program, we try our best to shuffle and increase access to AT. But I'd have you reach out to Spurwink Altec or just call me and I can help connect you.
Wonderful, Bill. I'm so glad you called. Let's see. We'll go to Ketra, who's calling from Alpha One. Hi, Ketra. We're tight on time. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you? My company, Alpha One, we're a center for independent living. We are managed and directed by people with disabilities. We're statewide. And we offer the Adaptive Equipment Loan Program. Interest rate is 3.75%. Terms vary depending on the longevity of the equipment that's being purchased. And it's a good way to establish a credit history for those that may not have one. And it can be for adaptive equipment and home accessibility. We also have a $5,000 grant for home accessibility and adaptive equipment, and a program specifically that builds ramps. We also do driver evaluations for people with disabilities to look at adaptive driving equipment needs. And we also work with teens who may be on the spectrum or have some other intellectual disability who are wondering if they can become drivers. And we also have a classifieds list on our website for people to post technology for sale.
Well, Ketra, thank you so much. So much available at Alpha One. I really appreciate you calling. And you will be our last call for the hour. We're out of time. Thank you so much to all of you here with me today. Lonnie Carlson, Director of Maine Sight. Lisa Penny, an Advocate for Deaf Services and Technology Specialist with Disability Rights Maine. And Sarah Squires, Public Policy Director with Disability Rights Maine. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. We had help from Maine Public's TV production coordinator, Nick Godfrey, and we want to thank our ASL interpreter, Elaine Williams, with Mary Jane Grant Sign Language Interpreting Services. You can watch today's Maine Calling program on Maine Public's YouTube channel. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow, an update on deer hunting in Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Public Radio.